Welcome back to Made in March. Today is March 13th, and it is the ever-anticipated Selection Sunday. Boys, it's finally here. We might be recording from remote locations. Me and Wesley are in Florida. Alex is still back home in Wisconsin, but it's finally here.
It is finally here. There are officially 0 days until Selection Sunday. It has happened. We are on Selection Sunday, and we could not be more excited and thrilled to be bringing you guys this podcast and also to break down the bracket. This is the best time of the year for us, I have to say.
Absolutely. Quite possibly my favorite day of the year when the bracket comes out. The anticipation, I've been waiting forward, looking to this day for about 3 months now.
It's right up there with Christmas. I'll be the one to say.
Jim Nance, I know that he was on broadcast and he said this is one of my, I mean, obviously he's a goated sports announcer. And he said this is one of his favorite sports moments of the year every year.
And keep in mind, this guy does football, basketball. He does the Masters even. He's a versatile announcer. He does just about everything.
And him saying that, that means something. That definitely means something.
But every year when the bracket comes out, we like to do a huge bracket breakdown about an hour after the bracket's released. Bracket was probably released about an hour ago, maybe a little bit more.
Yep.
So a lot of this is gut reaction, first thoughts on the bracket. So once again, our brackets could definitely be subject to change before the first real tip-off on Thursday.
But I would say 60 to 70% will probably remain decently consistent, although some maybe could change more than others, obviously. But
yes, and if we have any substantial changes, we will obviously let you guys know on social media. And honestly, we will probably drop another podcast before the first real games, obviously not including play-in games, on Thursday. So we'll get right into breaking in the bracket. We always recommend on these bracket breakdown podcasts, we can't stress this enough, have the bracket out in front of you. Look at it while you're listening. It just sort of helps you understand the games we're talking about more.
And follow along and maybe kind of see where your thoughts are as we are kind of breaking down what our thoughts are on games and kind of see where maybe your original picks were compared to our picks and thoughts on games as well. So
yes. Before we start, do we want to talk about last four in, first four out, Alex?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Should we just start in the West region right away?
Okay, so just going right down the list for the teams then? The way the brackets...
Well, we can talk about first four, just starting with that Rutgers-Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
I mean...
Charlie's got a lot to say.
I have got a lot to say. If you're just tuning in for the first time, it might be news to you that I am a Rutgers fan. For those who have been listening for a long time, this is not news whatsoever. The fact that Michigan got an 11 seed without a play-in game and Rutgers has to compete in a play-in game against Notre Dame, in my opinion, is a travesty. Let's just go through what we know. Here are facts. Here are things that cannot be disputed. Rutgers has a better Big Ten record than Michigan, more quad one wins, and a better quad one record, like win percentage-wise, that is. Michigan is 5-10 in quad one. Rutgers has 6 wins. I want to say they're 6-6. Does that sound right, Wesley?
I think so, yeah.
6-6, something like that. Don't quote me on that. And Rutgers has better wins, more impressive wins, and once again, better record all around. They were 1-1 against each other, so you can't use the individual matchups to choose a team there. But, you know, every time there's one gripe you have with the selection committee, but this Rutgers getting a play-in game, I'm glad they put Rutgers in the tournament with a net of 78, but still, it grinds my gears that Michigan doesn't have to compete in a playing game and Rutgers does.
What are your thoughts on that? I'm definitely in agreement with you, Charlie. I think Rutgers should have gotten one of the last four byes ahead of Michigan. I mean, they finished fourth in the regular season in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they had a bye in the Big Ten tournament.
They had a double bye in the Big Ten tournament.
Sorry, the Big Correct. Ten does work it like this. So they had a double bye and they're in a playing game.
It's crazy.
The only real argument you can make for Michigan is that they had a tougher non-conference schedule, but I still think Rutgers should definitely have gotten that. I don't think they should be playing in the first four.
You could make that argument, but Rutgers' strength of schedule is nothing to scoff at. Keep in mind, they're 33rd in strength of schedule throughout all of college basketball, which is pretty good. Michigan's might be better. I don't know theirs off the top of my head, but that was the thing that jumped out to me. Were there any other teams that were left off the bracket that you guys – sort of had a gripe with? I know Texas A&M being left off was a little bit of a surprise.
100%. That's what I was going to say. Texas A&M deserved to be in this bracket. Over Michigan, in my opinion.
I think
straight up. Straight up
over Michigan. I think Texas A&M Deserve to be in over Notre Dame and Wyoming. I mean, you look at Notre Dame.
Wyoming, Alex, thank you for bringing 100%. That up. Wyoming is one where it's like.
I get the Mountain West is having a good year, but Wyoming is the fourth best team in the Mountain West, and they're not that good. And then I think the only reason Notre Dame got in is because they beat Kentucky. I think that is the only reason, because if you were to do a blind resume, there's no way that team gets in.
I agree 100%. But the fact that Notre Dame did get in doesn't worry me one bit. I think Rutgers is going to demolish them. We'll get to that. Any other gripes you guys want to share before we get into the games?
No, I don't have anything else to share.
Alex?
I'm good to go.
All right, so let's get into the first game. For the first game, as the number one of one seeds, like it's been for quite a few years now, we have number one seed of Gonzaga versus 16 seed. I didn't even write it down because I was that disinterested in it.
Georgia State is the 16 name of the
seed
team.
Georgia State.
Yep, I've got the Zags in this one. I think that's a pretty easy pick.
What a shocker. Zags by 40? Is that what we're rocking with? What do we think the line's going to be?
Line's going to be 32.5 was my prediction.
Sounds about right. And I like the Zags to cover, most likely.
Yep.
How far do you guys have the Zags rolling in your tournament if we're just going sneak peek into, like, big picture stuff here?
I have them getting bounced in the Sweet 16.
I have them making the Elite Eight.
I'm going to guess who you have them getting bounced in the Sweet 16, just knowing how you view college basketball. Alex, do you have them getting bounced to UConn?
Absolutely.
See, that was a game I contemplated for so long. You have no idea. In the end, I have the Zags right now in my final game. Once again, a lot could be subject to change. But, you know, this Gonzaga team, let's just talk about Gonzaga for a little bit. Every year people say, oh, Gonzaga's in a terrible conference. They're just a bad team. And that's not always entirely true. There's something to be said for them having a cakewalk through their conference the whole year. But when people just completely discredit Gonzaga as a team, you can tell they don't really watch many Gonzaga games because this is a really good team. Maybe not as good as last year's, but it's a really, really good Gonzaga team.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Alex.
Okay, one thing about Gonzaga is, yes, I would say last year's team was probably better on paper, but this Gonzaga team is completely different this year. They are more dominant down low with Drew Timmy and Chet this year than they were last year when they were more guard heavy.
That's fair to say. I would also agree with that. Although Chet is kind of a versatile player as he stretches the floor and can kind of play like a guard at times too with his dribble drive threat ability, yeah. You could say. So last year's team, based off of both draft position and just overall talent in general, some may say it was better, obviously, because it was Kispert plus Suggs versus Chet this year. I would say Kispert plus Suggs is better than Chet.
Yes.
Obviously. So last year's team was said to be better. And they showed it to in their record. They came into the Big Dance undefeated and didn't lose until the last game. This team lost three games versus top 25 teams, one being St. Mary's and then two.
Who was in their conference?
Who's in their conference? They did lose a conference game this year, St. Mary's. And then they also lost to Duke. And I believe that was the opening game of the year for Gonzaga, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know to be sure on that. And then also to Alabama, they lost as well.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, this Zags team is pretty darn talented. And once again, anyone who just says that they play in a Mickey Mouse conference and has a cakewalk every year is not really watching Gonzaga basketball. Moving on to the 8-9 matchup, we have 8-seeded Boise State versus 9-seeded Memphis. Memphis has been hot lately. What are your boys' picks on this game?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I sat on it for a while. I'm rocking with the Blue Corps Broncos. My main reason for this one, they just won the Mountain West. They've been the best team in the Mountain West all year. Both of these teams are really good defensively, but I think Boise State is the better perimeter shooting team. I think they'll limit turnovers, and Memphis is known to turn it over a lot. I like Boise State.
I also had Boise State in this one too as well, Alex. Kind of based it off of the fact that Houston kind of exploited Memphis in the AAC final today. I think they won by about 18. Kind of showed that they've been on a hot streak, but they're not like this insane team that they've kind of been putting together the last 2 weeks. Obviously they came back to ground level, you could say, I guess, to where Memphis has been the past, I don't know, maybe 3 months of the season, previous 3 months of the season where they were a average team at best. So I like the Broncos in this game. To get the job done against Memphis.
Yeah, I have Boise State as well. You know, I'd love to disagree with you guys, but I'm not too worried. I think that's going to happen a little bit down the line during this podcast. But I would be remiss not to say that Memphis is pretty hot right now. They've been picking up some good wins.
They're playing hot.
Memphis is hot, but they do have Penny Hardaway coaching. That was
I was going to mention that. You know, some could say that's a contra asset for
Memphis. 100% a contra asset.
But Boise State, you know, let's not look over them. They're the cream of the crop in the Mountain West, which, as you mentioned, Alex, what, they got four teams into the Big Dance this
year? That is the toughest
four teams this year.
That's really good for a mid-major conference. And, you know, they won. And they were not only impressive during the conference tournament, but during the regular season as well. Yep. Boise State has shown us a lot. I got Boise State. I think this could be a good game, though. You guys?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be very low scoring. I will say that.
Okay, yeah, I could see that for sure.
I see all these 8-9 matchups, in my opinion, being tight games, in my opinion. We'll get to all of them, obviously, throughout this breakdown. But they're all be tight games. There's no teams that are just significantly better than the other one, as it's kind of meant to be with the tightest pick. So we can get into the next game then. The 5-seeded UConn Huskies, who Alex clearly has as a dark horse sleeper team, upsetting Gonzaga, taking on the New Mexico State Aggies. I believe this is a terrible, 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 terrible draw for the Aggies.
100%. We have a friend who goes to New Mexico State. He's been watching a lot of Aggies games lately, and he's sort of got us to watch a lot of New Mexico State basketball. The Aggies are a really good mid-major team, led by Teddy Allen, who
transferred from Nebraska.
Nebraska transfer, and he's a bucket getter himself in his own right. I like New Mexico State. I really wanted to pick them a game this year.
I know, but I can't do it.
But do I see them hanging with UConn? Not necessarily. I don't see it. UConn, as we all know, is an incredible rebounding team. I'm not necessarily saying that New Mexico State isn't, but I just think that UConn is going to be the more physical team in this game.
Yeah, I agree. New Mexico State is actually a decent rebounding team, but that obviously doesn't compare to UConn. UConn is a massive team. They're very deep, very physical. I like UConn to win this game with ease. Teddy Allen is a bucket, but I think Tyrese Martin and Andre Jackson are going to be able to do a good job on him.
I just personally don't think that New Mexico State has enough pieces to guard the both depth and versatility that UConn brings to the table. Let's say, sad for New Mexico State, because I did love this team. And I was really looking forward for them maybe to get a nice matchup, a little 12-5, maybe against Houston kind of thing. Obviously, it didn't work out. They got the probably the toughest 5-seed, in my opinion. So a tough draw for them. I have the Huskies in this game as well.
Yeah, I think Adama Sanogo has a huge game, personally. But, you know, 12-5 upsets, they're commonly picked. If you're going to pick one, there are worse teams than you can do than New Mexico State.
Yep, I agree. New Mexico State is one of the top two, I'd say, top two 12 seeds in this bracket. So, if you're picking them, it's not like an otherworldly terrible pick kind of thing. So, New Mexico State is a good team led by a star player in Teddy Allen. We can move on then to the 13-4 matchup of Arkansas, Vermont. Vermont took the, I believe it's the America East Conference. Is that what they're in?
I don't know. I feel like they won.
I believe that's correct.
Is that the conference? I watched the final of that game. I mean, I didn't watch. I tuned in periodically, I'll say, to the final of that game. I tuned in. They were up 20. I tuned in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes later. They were up 30. And then I think they ended up winning the game like 82-40 or something like that, the championship game. Vermont, obviously, they win a lot of years. And I'm going to say it. I think this team is good.
I'm looking at your bracket right now. You have Vermont beating Arkansas?
I have
led by Eric Musselman?
I have Vermont beating Arkansas. So they have a dynamic duo of Ryan Davis, a forward who is 6'9", 6'10", big guy who can score inside, outside, making the defense of Arkansas have to both guard him on the perimeter and on inside, and he can score on both levels very efficiently. And I would say, honestly, with ease, he's a great three-point shooter as well. And then senior guard Ben Chungo, he is the player, like kind of the guy that runs the system for the Catamounts, the Vermont Catamounts. And I think this team is a great three-point shooting team around those two players. And I see them making some noise and pulling off an upset here.
I like the ballsy pick. What can I say? I disagree with it, of course. I have the Hogs in this game. I just think the Hogs are too talented. I mean, JD Note is a legitimate Kemba candidate this year. He could drop 30 points in any given game in March Madness.
He's a Kemba candidate. That's
so I'll take the Hogs. We'll see. We'll see if you're picking Vermont is if you saw something here, Wesley. I like the pick though.
But here's the thing where I stick with my pick is that I don't see Arkansas beating UConn. So I had UConn moving on to the next round. So and I kind of view this as a toss up, and I liked Vermont a lot before I even knew what the bracket matches were going to look like. So
you did say that to me as the selection show was unfolding.
I did. I liked Vermont, so I'm sticking with them and roll Catamounts.
See, what's not only awesome about me being here in beautiful sunny Wisconsin right now, away from you two, is that I'm sitting here listening to your two picks, and when Wesley said Vermont, man, I got excited because I'm rocking with Vermont as well.
Okay.
This is a noted, let's all say, this is a noted Arkansas fan. Alex has been
big Arkansas fan. But the thing for me is I think it comes down to a game of tempo, who's going to be able to control the pace. Arkansas plays as the 28th fastest team. Meanwhile, Vermont is 288th. But Vermont is a senior-led team. They've been to the tournament before. I like Vermont.
The only thing I don't understand about that is you think Vermont's going to be able to control the tempo of the game against Arkansas? They're going to be able to slow it down to their pace?
I do.
Okay. I don't necessarily see that happening, and that's why I have the Hogs. But you know what? That's the beauty of March Madness.
And I think this year, way more than last year, in my opinion, anything is possible.
I think it's wide open.
Like
last year, our brackets will show, and we can get it right into this next game if we want to show some wide open. By the way,
yeah, this next game is playing game of Rutgers, Notre Dame taking that as an 11 seed. That winner will take on the 6 seed, Alabama Crimson Tide. And in my opinion, Charlie, you can start off with your pick. Actually, I will let you go first since you are the noted Rutgers fan.
I alluded to this at the beginning of the podcast. Rutgers should have gotten – they shouldn't have to play in a playing game. In my opinion, that is downright disrespectful to a team that has 6-7 quad one wins and very impressive quad one wins at that. Not just quad one wins. I'm talking about beating number one Purdue, beating Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. Lots and lots of great wins for this Rutgers team, and they get put in a playing game. But you know what? It's not going to matter. Rutgers is going to run Notre Dame out of the gym on Tuesday or Wednesday, whichever day they play. I don't know. And then Rutgers is going to beat Bama. Bama is a team with high upside. We've talked about Bama extensively this year on the podcast. But just to recap, they're a team that can beat anyone but can also be beat by anyone. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes, 100%. Fully.
And Rutgers has proven that they can beat good teams. I see Rutgers beating not only Notre Dame but Bama. This is all contingent, once again, on Rutgers winning their play-in game. If you're listening to this after Rutgers play-in game, I could sound like a complete fool right now. I have Rutgers going on an Elite Eight run. Geo Baker and Ron Harper Jr., that's some veteran leadership on that team. Headband Paul, he may have had a bad game against Iowa with a few turnovers, but he will stuff the stat sheet for you. And he's a really good facilitator and actually a good rebounder. People underrate his rebounding. And let's not forget about Caleb McConnell. Defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. I don't care who you've got as your guard. Caleb McConnell will hold him to below 15 points, even if his name's Johnny Davis.
He did do it a couple times this year.
So this Rutgers team, do not sleep on them just because they're in a playing game and just because their name is Rutgers. I promise you, this team has a lot of talent. I didn't even mention Cliff Omorui.
Who's having a sneaky, underrated season.
Not even underrated, man. He's second in all of NCAA basketball in dunks.
And he's having a great defensive shot blocking season around the rim.
That's it all.
Give me Rutgers.
This team is scary. Although I really do want to hear your guys' insight.
I love the pick, Charlie. I've got Rutgers winning one game. I think they beat Notre Dame in the play-in. I think Caleb McConnell locks down star freshman Blake Wesley. And then I think they beat Alabama as well. Bama relies so much on the three-point ball, more than any team in college basketball, and it's not even close. And they haven't been shooting it particularly well recently. I think Caleb McConnell is key for this Rutgers team. I think he locks down Blake Wesley and locks down Jaden Shackelford against Bama. Although I only have Rutgers winning one game against Bama.
Hey, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that as a win. Wesley, let's hear your pick here.
I have the same as you guys. I'm rolling with Rutgers as well to win one game as well, losing to Texas Tech in the second round, round of 32. I agree with Alex in the fact that Alabama depends on the three and they've not been shooting well, but I'm also going to say that Rutgers defends the perimeter also extremely well, and I think that combined with Alabama taking a lot of threes, not hitting that high at a high rate right now, and Rutgers being a good perimeter defensive team, I like Rutgers to beat Alabama.
And just to sort of give, just so that we're not going too groupthink here, I do want to talk about Alabama a little bit. Because I know that there are going to be people that pick Alabama to go on kind of a deep run.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, there are worse picks than that. Alabama,
they very well could.
That, Alex, they can get really, really hot from three and beat anyone.
Javon Quinterly is the key for Bama. If he's on 100%. His game, looking for buckets of his own and creating for his team, Bama, they can make a deep run if they're hitting their shots.
Absolutely.
There's games where Javon Quinterly can score 20, and Alabama can beat a good team by 20 plus. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of a hit or miss. I see Rutgers locking them down, and that not happening. So it can go either way, obviously, in this game. It all depends on how Bama's playing.
Yeah,
totally dependent. We move that into the 3-14 matchup of Texas Tech, Montana State. I'm probably going to spare everybody a little bit of time, and I'm assuming everybody went Texas Tech in this game.
I don't know a single thing about Montana State, and that includes what conference they even came out of.
Probably the same one as the Grizz. I'd say probably the
Big Sky.
Big Sky, if I had to guess.
Makes sense. But, yeah, I think we've all got Texas Tech in this one.
Yep.
Yeah, Montana State is a decent offensive team. But, yeah, they're senior led. I just don't see them beating Tech. I really like Tech.
I do, too. I like Tech making a deep run in this tournament, personally. We can move that on to the 7-10 matchup of Michigan State as a 7, and Davidson is the 10. Davidson did not win the
A-10.
They did not win the A-10, receiving that large bid with their, I believe, 25-7, 26-7, something like that record, snuck in to the field 68. Honestly, I don't like Davidson at all. I picked Michigan State in this game. I really haven't been a huge fan of Davidson all year. I think Michigan State's been playing decent ball recently. Obviously, they did a great job against Wisconsin. I know only winning by 6 when Johnny Davis goes 3-19 is maybe not like blow your balls off for lack of a better term. But I think this Michigan State team, obviously led by Tom Izzo, they don't have a star, but I think they play well together as a team, and I think they have enough to get done against Davidson in the first round.
I agree. I like Michigan State as well. And one thing to note, Foster Lawyer going back to face his old team. That should be interesting.
That is an interesting storyline.
The key for Michigan State is, I believe, to be Tyson Walker. I really like Tyson Walker. He's been playing a lot better as of late. I think he has a good game in this one. I have Michigan State moving on. And as of right now, I have Sparty beating Duke in the second round as
well. Alex, I like where your brain's at. I have the same thing, but full transparency. Going into Selection Sunday, I was not all that high on Michigan State.
I agree, Charlie.
But I think they got a fantastic draw. I think Davidson stinks. Ever since I watched one of their games midseason where they almost lost to Fordham, who plays in a glorified high school gym, I've been off Davidson. I don't really like Michigan State, once again, but fantastic draw. I think they beat Davidson. And Duke on the 2 line, there's arguments to be made that Duke could be a 3 or potentially even a 4. I think I think it's horrible too. Duke got really lucky with that 2 line, and Michigan State has beat Duke in the past. Let's not forget going back to the Cassius Winston versus Zion Williamson matchup of 3 years ago.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
I got Michigan State beating Davidson and then beating Duke in the second round. So Alex, great minds think alike.
I like it.
I have Duke beat Michigan State in that game, but then losing to Tech. I don't like this Duke team to go very far.
Yeah, we've alluded to Duke, so let's just get into it. Number 2, Duke versus number 15. What is this?
CSU Fullerton.
They did take down Long Beach State in their conference final.
This may have to be a Mike Tomlin scenario of we do not care.
We do not care.
Because I don't see Duke losing with the talented starting five they have and Coach K going out in his victory parade. I don't see them losing to the CSU Fullerton. So I think we can move on from that game, I assume.
We can.
Should we move to the south region in the upper right corner, or should we go to the
east region? Let's go down to the east region. So if you got a paper bag in front of you, that is bottom left.
That's the bottom left quadrant, headed by the number 1 seed Baylor Bears. They take on Norfolk State in the first round. I believe we all have Baylor in this game.
Defending national champs.
Yeah.
How many quadrant 1 wins do they have, Alex? 13 at this point?
I believe 13, most in college buckets.
Yeah. And I just feel like Norfolk State's a perennial 16 seed just every single year, it feels like, at this point.
hey, congrats to them, though, always making the tourney. That's respect to them. But I don't
see if Baylor can defend their title. Still in the number one line. Pretty impressive by Scott Drew with all the guys he lost.
Especially losing their starting center every day, Jonathan Chachwa. I'm sorry, I just butchered that name, I know. But that was a huge, huge piece for them, and they lost in midseason, and they still were able to hang on to the one seed in the one line. So impressive stuff for them. We can then move into the 8-9 matchup of the hometown heroes of Marquette Golden Eagles taking on the number 8-seeded North Carolina Tar Heels.
Let me mention something real quick about Baylor. And you mentioned Everyday John being out. LJ Cryer is also dinged up currently for Baylor. I believe he's their second leading scorer. He missed the last two games in the Big 12 tournament, so that is something else to keep an eye on.
100%. Now, we're going to let you get the first chance to dive in this Marquette game, Alex, because as the hometown fan here for Marquette, let it rip.
First of all, I love this draw for Marquette. I'm looking long term. I see a path to the final, Elite Eight, okay? And let me just get into it.
Path to currently, the final, I was about to.
Currently, I only have them winning one game against North Carolina. And let me talk about last year's matchup, Marquette-North Carolina. They beat them by, I think, 15 at Chapel Hill. Obviously, these two teams are completely different, but Marquette did a great job against Baycott last year. Obviously, Dawson Garcia transferred to UNC. I think karma's a bitch. I think Marquette beats UNC. And then let me just talk about this potential matchup versus Baylor. Obviously, Shaka Smart, new coach of Marquette. He has seen Baylor so many times. He will have a phenomenal game plan to go up against Baylor. They're not that deep after losing LJ Cryer and Everyday John. They could win this game, not to mention they're one of the streakiest teams in all of college basketball.
I definitely think Baylor is vulnerable. I will give you that argument, but I think me and Wesley are going to differ in this first game. Alex, as much as I would love to support you and pick Marquette, I'm going with North Carolina. I think Baycott is just going to be too dominant versus Marquette. Wesley, are you thinking the same?
I'm thinking the same. I bought Marquette. We did our buy-sell whole episode. I really did want to have Marquette get a good draw. And I know you think this is a good draw for Marquette. I personally disagree. I think that Armando Baycott he's the ACC player of the year, and he is too much to handle for Marquette. Who are they going to put on him? Oso Igudoro? Absolutely not. He's going to get babied like a little two-year-old.
Baycott would drop 40 if Oso's on him all game.
I mean, if they could put Justin Lewis on him, but if Justin Lewis is not thick enough to guard Armando Baycott, and then Kirkquath obviously would be a nice matchup, but I think that he gets into foul trouble too easily, and his minutes are always numbered due to that. So I don't really see him having much time guarding Armando Baycott. I think Armando Baycott, he's obviously an elite rebounder, and that's something that Marquette struggles with. I think he has his way in this game. That's not a statement,
Marquette.
That's Ruggles. You can say that Armando Baycott might bully Kirkquath. But I'm sorry, Brady Manek is not going to be able to guard Justin Lewis. Not even close.
I agree with that.
But I think they put Leaky Black on Justin Lewis.
Brady Manek couldn't guard Lewis.
You're going to put Leaky Black on Justin Lewis? Are you kidding me?
Sneaky Long.
Over Brady Manek?
He's Sneaky Long. He is tiny. He is tiny. Justin Lewis probably has 50 pounds on him.
Wesley is looking up Leaky Black's weight as we speak.
He is 6'8". He's a long guy, just like I said.
He's not thick enough.
I know he's not thick enough, but I'd much rather have Leaky Black.
Then who is Brady Manek going to guard? Because he's not going to stay in front of Daryl.
I think he's just going to kind of move around. He's going to be like a floating piece.
He's just going to sit in the middle of the floor and guard
That's
whoever.
Basically what Brady Manek does on defense as is right now. So not too much
nothing new. Nothing
this
new.
This is nothing new.
I will say both of these teams are incredibly streaky. We've both seen them play great ball and terrible ball.
Very, very streaky. I agree 100% that this is going to be kind of a game of runs, in my opinion. You don't really know what kind of team you're going to get. You could get the Marquette team that won, against ranked teams, or you can get the North Carolina that beat Duke on their home floor and Coach K's Fairwild.
Or you could get the Marquette that has absolutely whimpered into this tournament. I know you love
that. Or you can get the UNC team that got 25 balled by Va Tech.
Yeah, and Virginia Tech also won the ACC tournament.
I agree, but still, they played horrible.
Yes, they did. But, so obviously, yes, we are saying you can get either side of either team. I'm going to go with UNC, though. And
the That's ACC fine. I love this for Marquette. Please pick against them because when they're favored in games, they suck. So put right. as the underdog.
We're doing you a favor, Al. We're doing you a favor at the end of the day. All right, let's move on here.
Moving to the 5-12 matchup of St. Mary's versus the playing game of Wyoming in Indiana. I'll start this one off. I say if Wyoming wins this playing game, I like St. Mary's to win this game. And if Indiana wins the playing game, I like Indiana to win this game. That's why I'm going to say it. I think Indiana is
the 100%.
They're an elite team right now in basketball. TJD, he was an incredible player in the Big Ten tournament. He obviously got outshined by Keegan Murray. He was number two for hottest player, and Indiana was number two for hottest team in that Big Ten tourney with that comeback win against Michigan, and then also with a great performance against a really, really good Illinois team where I think that obviously Kofi is way bigger size-wise than TJD, and TJD held his own and even got his own buckets on the offensive end. So I really like this Indiana team. I really hate this Wyoming team, so I would pick St. Mary's to be Wyoming.
Yeah, everything you said, Wesley, I feel the exact same way. Wyoming, I don't really see a way that they beat Indiana, but at the same time, you never really know with Indiana. If Wyoming somehow wins, give me St. Mary's. I don't like Tommy Cousy on St. Mary's, but I'll admit, as he's progressed in his college career, he's actually gotten pretty good. He throws some absolute
Your heart's changed a little bit.
I'm not a Tommy Cousy fan, far from it, but I'll admit that he's all right. But I really hope Indiana wins, and I think TJD could do some special things versus St. Mary's were they to beat Wyoming, which I think they will.
Yeah, I'm torn on this game. I think I agree with you guys. If Wyoming somehow beats Indiana, I love St. Mary's. But then I think Indiana wins, and I've been going back and forth on this one. I really like the St. Mary's team. They play good defense. They don't really turn the ball over. They're led by Tommy Cousy. And a fun fact is that when they beat the Zags earlier this year, they outscored Gonzaga in the paint in that game. So it's not like St. Mary's is not a physical team. I think they're going to match Indiana's physicality. I think they can contain TJD. I'm torn right now. I currently have St. Mary's, but I can see it going either way.
That is an interesting stat about St. Mary's. I actually like that.
We can then move into the 4-13 match with UCLA Akron. I just want to say the 13 seeds in this NCAA tournament are the best, well-rounded 4-13 seeds I have maybe ever seen. All these 13 seeds are good teams. This Akron team is coming hot, winning the MAC. I believe that is a correct conference. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the Zips have come in hot, and they've been underdogs in most of their games in the MAC tourney, and they pulled it off and made the big dance and won their conference. And I don't see them beating UCLA, but I just wanted to give a shout-out to the very high-powered 13 seeds that are in this March Madness tournament.
I agree. I really like the Zips. I think they're an absolute wagon.
I agree.
First of all. I like Ali Ali. I remember watching their first game of the season against Ohio State.
Yes.
They lost on a tip-in. But, yeah, congrats to Akron. I think they won their tourney as a 5 seed going dancing.
Yep.
But UCLA as a 4 seed. I think that's fair, but I don't think UCLA was healthy at all, really, in the regular season. I think they're starting to get healthy. I think at full strength, they are much better than a 4 seed. I see UCLA winning this game. I like UCLA to go to the Elite Eight or Final Four, potentially even championship game.
I have UCLA in my Final Four as it stands right now. I thought about championship game. I agree with everything you said. 4 seed for UCLA, you can't really debate it based on what they have done. But just the way they're playing now, getting a lot healthier. Jaime Jaquez has been getting very hot lately.
He's cooking right now.
He is on a heater. And, you know, they're winning pedigree. This team knows how to get it done. They got to the, what, championship game last year?
Yep.
McCronin knows
how to get
it done. Final four against Zags. Before Jalen Suggs
at half court. I forgot about that half court. What a shot that was. But I like UCLA beating Akron. Once again, Akron coming out of the MACtion, you know, good for Akron. I see UCLA winning. I have UCLA in the Final Four. They rematch against Gonzaga in the Final Four, and I could see UCLA pulling this one out, to be honest, and maybe getting to the championship game.
I want to say something about UCLA. So right now I have Baylor over UCLA, but in my head I have this along with another game that we'll get to in the Midwest Conference next. I've gone back and forth in my head about who I like better. that game is totally up for debate, UCLA versus Baylor, in my eyes. And my picks will probably change on the daily for me in that game. UCLA has been playing some incredible basketballs of late, and I agree, Alex, that they have not been healthy all year. The key to this team is keeping both Cody Riley and Miles Johnson out of foul trouble. The reason they lost Arizona in the Pac-12 championship was because of that. Cody Riley, Miles Johnson, both had four fouls with 13 minutes left in the game. That's why they lost that game. They need to make sure their big guys stay out of foul trouble.
I agree. That played a role, but Arizona was kind of just filthy last night.
I think UCLA personally had that game if they were able to keep. They couldn't get any rebounds, had no defensive paint presence. So I think that
yeah, that's fair.
Back to that. Arizona was getting bucket after bucket. They literally had like five buckets a row in the paint. So, but that's a whole different story for a whole different day. So we can move on to the 6-11 matchup. This Virginia Tech team was never probably in the tournament before this.
No.
They win the ACC tournament.
Bid stealer.
Fully. Full bid stealer. Getting 11 seed. They're taking on Texas. Personally, I'll start this one off. I think Texas is frauds. I have Virginia Tech winning not just this game, but the next game as well, making it to the Sweet 16.
Ooh, beating Purdue in the second round.
I have that as well, yes.
Well, see, I feel like we are due for a victory lap on Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, welcome.
I just wanted to apologize, guys, for this whole
Top off Virginia Tech, you know? They said. Virginia Tech stinks, they said.
That's on me. Well,
me and Wesley never did hop off Virginia Tech. We believed in Mike Young and the system he was building there. And that's two straight March Madness experiences for Mike Young and the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Bingo.
And four of their starters are mid-major transfers. These are guys that have made it out the mud, so to speak. They've been through it all. And they are fighters.
Mm-hmm.
None more than Storm Murphy. He is the epitome of a fighter.
Yes, I do agree with him.
And he's the short point guard on Virginia Tech, for those who don't know. Transfer from Wofford, who, once again, that's where their coach Mike Young came from. I love this Virginia Tech team versus Texas. I think it's the epitome of a team, not necessarily soft, but a team who wants it versus a team who, in my opinion, doesn't really care. I don't think Texas has fully bought into Chris Beard and his whole system there. Give me Virginia Tech.
I also have Virginia Tech.
Yes, sir. Welcome aboard.
We're agreeing on this.
Yeah, we're agreeing on a lot of these picks, but I only have them winning one game. I did consider them beating Purdue, though, just because I think Purdue is a slightly fraudulent 3 seed.
I agree. That's why I have Virginia Tech. I also coupled that with the fact that Virginia Tech is arguably one of the hottest teams in college basketball right now. Winning 4 games in the ACC tournament or whatever they did to beating great teams. Yeah. Play obviously Duke.
And
the lights were bright and they got it done. So,
and obviously the player you got to watch out for Virginia Tech is Kiva Aluma.
Kiva Aluma.
They're big. Yeah. And I'm just looking at that second round matchup, and I like Travion and Edie to contain him. So that's the only reason I went Purdue in that second round matchup.
Yeah, but, you know, you mentioned Kiva Aluma, and 100% he's their best player. But let's not forget about Hunter Couture. That's a guy that can get hot from three.
And the Duke game was 5 of 5 from three to start.
I think he made 7 threes in that game. I didn't get a chance to watch the entirety of that game, but I'm pretty sure he made 7 threes that game. So keep an eye out for him.
I think that Hunter Couture is 100% guy to look out for. He's a sniper. He's an absolute sniper. So then we'll move into the 13-4, or the 14-3 matchup, sorry. Of Purdue, Yale. I think we're all going to probably go Purdue in this game. I don't think any Ivy League.
Mione is not at Yale.
No, Paul Atkinson. He's gone as well. So
give me Purdue. You guys mentioned that Purdue you think is a fraudulent 3 seed. You're just attributing that to their lack of defense, I assume.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Lack of defense and just not being able to win big games in big moments, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and turnovers too.
Turnovers too. Yep. I think that the fact that Purdue could not win 1 of 2 against Wisconsin is crazy, because literally Wisconsin's big men are equivalent of a bad mid-major team, in my opinion. So that's all you need to know about Purdue, in my opinion. I don't really like Purdue this year. So we can move into the 7-10 match with Murray State, San Fran. I like Murray State in this game. I don't think San Fran is that good. Murray State's a 2-loss team. They push the ball. They have a great dynamic duo, guard big man duo. I think what's remind me first name of that guy?
KJ Williams and Tevin Brown are the two guys.
Yes, Tevin Brown. Tevin Brown and KJ Williams. The dynamic duo of Murray State. I think they're way too much for San Fran. Honestly, I San Fran didn't really deserve to be making it. They deserve making
the tournament. I'm not going to sit here and say San Fran didn't deserve to make the tournament. But it's just a team that I'm 100% not in love with at all. I know that their whole thing is, oh, they only have this many losses, and, you know, a lot of them are like Gonzaga or whatever. And it's like, I get that. But, you know, point to a win, and I could be wrong once again. I'm not really looking at San Fran's resume right in front of me, but point to a really convincing good win San Fran's had. Do they have any?
You guys, I agree. Their only real good win, I guess, and it's not really a good win, is BYU. You look at the tourney teams that they've beat. They beat Davidson by 5. They beat UAB by 2, which is a 10, and UAB got a 12, I believe. And then they lost to the Zags all 3 times, St. Mary's twice, and Loyola by 5.
Yeah, so nothing too impressive. And this Murray State team is a team that just should not be slept on under any circumstances. Alex, I know you love Murray State. I'll let you talk about them for a little bit.
This is a tough one to pick for me. I do like Murray State. I also love San Francisco's defense. I watched their game against the Zags in the West Coast Conference Tournament, and I thought San Francisco looked okay. I've been going back and forth on this one. I currently have Murray State just because of Tevin Brown and KJ Williams. But San Francisco basically gives up 0 threes. The reason the Zags were able to take care of them is because of Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren. Murray State does have one good big. I think this is going to be a really close game. I don't really have a pick for you guys right now, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, this one, man, can be edited.
I'm okay. I'm going Murray State as of right now.
Okay.
And obviously the 2:15 match with Kentucky St. Peter's. We have probably all of Kentucky in that game.
Yep.
How far do you guys have Kentucky going?
I've got Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and then I've been getting beat by UCLA.
I have Kentucky Elite Eight, also losing to UCLA, but I've been high on Kentucky for a long time, and that could easily change. I think the winner of that game, UCLA-Kentucky, goes to the national championship game.
I like that that one. I have Kentucky Elite Eight right currently as well right now. I think that their guard duo plus Oscar Tshiebwe is too much to handle. I think Kellen Grady – he's been struggling from 3, but I have a hint that he's going to turn it on in the tournament. I have a feeling that he's going to get it right, at least not be shooting like as bad as he has been the SEC tournament and a couple games in the regular season leading up to it. So I think Kellen Gray is going to turn it around and start shooting the 3 like he's been all regular season.
But wait, like, Charlie, who do you have coming out of the West region? Do you have the Zags?
I do.
So as of right now, you got a little rematch in the Final Four, Zags UCLA.
I know. And let me tell you, that's a game that I'm going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in my head right now. Honestly, I'm kind of leaning towards UCLA to get to the championship game. The only problem is then they would be facing another Pac-12 team in the championship, and I just don't know how realistic it is that there are going to be 2 Pac-12 teams in the championship.
That's fair.
So
that's
fair. We'll get to that. But, yes, let's get into the top right region.
Yeah, the South region headed by Arizona as the number 1 seed.
Who, by the way, Arizona is my pick to cut down the nets.
I like it. My
as long as Kirk Crease is healthy, has said on Twitter and social media that he will be good to go by March Madness. I'm taking his word for it. As long as he is, give me Arizona to win it all.
I like it. In the first round, they take on the playing matchup of Wright State and Bryant. Bryant is the most disrespectful 16 seed of all time. How can you put a guy, the leading scorer in the Division I, 25 points per game, Peter Kiss, and they're put in a playing game 16 seed? That's pretty disrespectful to me. Obviously, like,
I agree, Wesley. That's so disrespectful because if Brian would have gotten like a 14, I would strongly consider picking them. Because not only do they have Peter Kiss, who averages...
I think we're using the term disrespectful a little bit too loosely here. Disrespectful is Rutgers having to play in a play-in game and Michigan getting not having to.
I don't know how you can be in a play-in game as a 16 seed when you have the leading scorer in college basketball and then another guy by the name of Charles Pride who averages like 18.7 points a game.
It seems pretty crazy to think that they're in a play-in game 16, not even just a regular 16 matchup, but I mean, what are you going to do about it? It's Brian. I wish they would have been a little bit of a higher seed, and I maybe considered to pick them given the right matchup. But
But yes, we do have to mention Peter Kiss, though, because last year I don't think we mentioned Max Asmus, and they ended up beating 2-seeded Ohio State.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen this year with Arizona. The bracket would be
hilarious. Like
45, and
you know what? At that point, I'd tip the cap.
That would be a tip the cap. Second 16 seed to be the one, which would be pretty fun, honestly. We can move into the 8-9 matchup then of Seton Hall TCU. Who do you guys like in this game? Alex, you want to start it off?
I got the Horn Frogs. I've been on TCU for a while now. I think they are the much better team here. Seton Hall's been struggling. I thought Bryce Aiken was back, who is their sixth man, but he plays most of the minutes for the Hall.
Yeah.
But I think he's still injured. He didn't play in the Big East tourney. This is one of my most confident picks in the bracket.
Okay. I got TCU. Wesley.
TCU as well for me.
How do we like those Horned Frogs?
Medium rare. Let's go TCU.
Guys, we have a lot of similar picks here.
I know, and it actually really upsets me because I think when we argue, it's the most fun. But I think that's more in the beginning of the bracket because me and Wesley have compared Final Fours, and there were zero of the same Final Four teams. So it might just be more of a first-round thing. Also, we're barely halfway through the bracket, may I add.
Yep.
Moving on here.
To the 5-12 matchup of Houston-UAB. I'm going to start this one off because I absolutely love UAB. UAB wins this game, and they also win another game and beat Illinois in the second round, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
I have UAB winning two games. UAB led by Jordan Walker, who – honestly, this is going to be crazy, but I've watched UAB throughout the Conference USA tournament, their last three games. This has been a elite player to watch. He is incredible. I think he had 40 again in the semifinal, and then I think he had like 30 against La Tech, Louisiana Tech, in the final of Conference USA. And he is a crazy good player, part of the Jelly Fam. Which is like
his nickname is Jelly Fam. I saw that.
Yeah, so he's a super special player. He's an incredibly clutch player as well. I think he's made 28 straight free throws in both their games. Kind of came down to the wire. He's making all the clutch free throws. He's a good 3-point shooter. He creates well. Obviously, all teams know the ball's going to him, and he's going to be putting up a lot of shots. And they clearly haven't been able to stop it. I absolutely love UAB. I think they're the best 12 seed. And I have them winning two games in this March Madness.
Wesley, UAB. You can go, Alex. You can go.
Okay. Congrats to UAB. They beat La Tech and Kenneth Lofton. Basically, it's just Kenneth Lofton.
What about Archibald?
UAB has great guards, but no, I was just going to say Archibald stinks. He's terrible. I don't see UAB winning this game. I think Houston has way too much size and athleticism. I think they're able to contain UAB's guards. I like Houston in this one, but I do think UAB is kind of a spooky 12 if they're shooting. I just think Houston's defense is going to be too much.
Last year, I vowed to never pick Houston in March Madness ever again.
Why is that?
After the monstrosity that occurred versus Rutgers when – maybe the closest thing I've seen to a thrown game by the officials in my entire lifetime, to be honest. I'm nothing else if not a man of my word. Give me UAB in this game. And honestly, it's not just because of that. I actually really like this UAB team, everything Wesley mentioned. And they're coming out of Conference USA. Let's not forget, Conference USA was very, very, very competitive this year. They had the North Texas Mean Green. Ooh, Alex, I know you love them. La Tech, as you mentioned.
Middle Tennessee State,
who was the one seed. You don't even talk about them, you know?
Exactly.
Very competitive conference. Give me Jelly Fam and UAB.
I love
UAB. The Dragons.
And now I'm going to add this, and I have been a huge Houston supporter over the last 3 years, and I just like this UAB team more this year. So if that gives you any confidence, maybe to sway your pick, I have been a huge Houston supporter. I love Houston, but I like UAB in this game as well. So we can move that into another 13-4 matchup with another great 13 seed in Chattanooga taking on the 4-seeded Illinois. This game was honestly kind of – I had to debate about this game a little bit. I ended up going to Illinois just because of Kofi Coburn and his dominance. I don't think Chattanooga has anybody to stop him. They do have the guy, the transfer from Kansas who threw the chair in the Kansas State game. I believe he got suspended.
Silvio De Souza.
Yeah, Silvio De Souza. Yeah. He got suspended for a while from Kansas. Then he got kicked off the team, obviously. Transferred to Chattanooga. And here he is. And he's having a good year. I think he stands an okay chance to, like, try and contain Kofi. But no one can ever fully contain Kofi. And I think Kofi's going to have his own against Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, you know, listen. Jean Baptiste hit that half-court shot to get you into the big dance. Really cool, honestly.
Very
Chattanooga,
cool.
You know, you probably don't have too much else to cheer for. So, you know, congratulations. Live it up.
Yep.
Have fun. But Kofi Colburn is going to drop 35-17, and this game isn't going to be particularly close.
I think Illinois wins this one by 10+. Maybe 15+. Alex?
As of right now, I've got the mocks. I think, what's his name, De Silva from
Kansas.
Where did he come from? Kansas.
Silvio De Souza, yeah.
Yep. I think he's able to hang with Kofi. Alfonso Plummer hasn't been shooting it particularly well. The Mocs have the SoCon Player of the Year, Malachi Smith, who's averaging 20-7 boards a game.
Yes, that's correct.
As of right now, I have the Mocs, and I have the Mocs beating Houston.
Wow. Buying into the Mocs. I think it's a terrible pick, but you know, we can continue on here. We can keep moving.
It's a 12-13 two game spree for both Alex and I.
I didn't see anyone picking Loyola to beat Illinois last year. I think they're getting bounced again.
Okay, we'll see. If they do, Brad Underwood's gonna have to need to provide some answers. Let's just say that.
Yeah, he will. He will need to provide some answers if that's indeed what happens. We can move on to the 6-11 matchup of Colorado State, Michigan. Michigan shouldn't be in the field, but that's a different argument for a different day. I personally like Colorado State in this one. I think Michigan lost to who was it? I think they lost to San Diego State. They beat San Diego State earlier in the year, by 14. So they've had their way with the Mountain West. Obviously, only one matchup that's notable in the Mountain West for Michigan. But I like Colorado State in this game. I just think Michigan has so much talent. But I honestly think Juwan Howard is a handicap at this point, because the fact that he couldn't coach his team with a 20-point lead against Indiana.
That was embarrassing.
Totally embarrassing. I just hate picking Michigan. So that also kind of fueled my decision.
Yeah.
I'm rolling Colorado State.
Alex, you go.
I've got Colorado State as well. I really like David Roddy, however you pronounce it. He's a great player. Michigan, they didn't really impress me at all in the Big Ten tournament. They blew a massive lead against Indiana. I think Colorado State limits the turnovers. I don't think Michigan has enough shooting. I'm rolling with the Mountain West again.
I am experiencing what is known in English class as cognitive dissonance. That is when you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, it's been a while, your actions contradict what your thoughts are.
And that is correct.
Let's go back to the beginning of this podcast when I said it was absolutely disgraceful, disrespectful, all the adjectives in the world, that Michigan doesn't have to participate in the play-in game and Rutgers does. And I still believe that. However, when it comes to this specific game, I actually like Michigan over Colorado State. The Mountain West has been very competitive this year. I get all that. But if we're talking about Indiana, and it was an embarrassing blown lead that Michigan had versus Indiana, I'm not trying to cover up for that. But the fact that they even had that lead on Indiana, who is one of the hottest teams right now in the Big Ten in the first place, I think that says a little something about Michigan. And I have them beating Colorado State. I think it'll be a competitive game, though. But give me Michigan.
I think this is more of a toss-up than people think, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Michigan's probably going to be favored in this game.
No.
I think so, yeah.
Definitely 100% a chance that could definitely be happening. I'll have to wait and see on that. I think it'll be within a 2.5-point line, though, even though it's an 11-6 matchup. Three-seeded Tennessee, who is hot, and that is a disrespectful three-seed. Disrespectful. Totally disrespectful three-seed. Taking on 14-seed Longwood. I believe we all have the Volunteers in this one. I just want to toss out there, I have Tennessee winning it all. I have them cutting down the Nets.
I like that pick. You and Alex both have it, and I cannot, as much as I wish, I cannot hate on it.
Yep. Tennessee is – obviously, they won the SEC. huge win against Kentucky. Clearly, they showed that, I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe is a dominant force of nature, SEC Player of the Year, normally averaging around 15 rebounds per game. They got him into foul trouble, Tennessee's big men, who they rotate. They have like three big men that they've rotated on Tshiebwe, kind of wore him down and were able to fight with him. And like they always had fresh legs to fight with Tshiebwe. And they won that battle. And I think that that bodes well. They have great guard play. They have arguably the best six man in the country. It's a guy Ziegler, off the bench, the little 5'9" freshman from New York, who is a speedy dude and gets to the rack like nobody else, in my opinion. He's a great rack attack guy. Santiago Vescovi on the outside, knocking down the threes. Josiah Jordan James, who has been absolutely splashing it from three recently and has been a huge offensive piece for Tennessee. I love this Tennessee team. Kennedy Chandler as well, who has been the freshman guard that that Rick Barnes has kind of needed to run the offense this year. And he's done a great job stepping into that role as a young freshman. I absolutely love this Tennessee team.
Yeah, Wesley, I agree with everything you just said. I think Charlie mentioned it. I have Tennessee winning it all right now as well. I think you hit on all the main points. They rotate their bigs between Plavisic and Fulkerson. They got experience in the backcourt or in the front court. Their backcourt might be a little young, but they are incredibly talented. Kennedy Chandler, Zakai Ziegler, both freshman point guards. They've been exceptional for Tennessee. Vescovi brings that leadership into the backcourt. He's been knocking down threes. And also, they're a very good defensive team. And you saw that against Kentucky, holding Kellen Grady to like 0-7 from three or something. I love this Tennessee team.
I have nothing else to add to what you guys said, except for the fact that I think this potential Elite Eight matchup of Arizona versus Tennessee is going to be a fun one if it happens the way that obviously we think it's going to. At least I do.
Yep.
I'm looking at this. I think Nova is going to be a very tough challenge, though, for Tennessee, because I also really like Nova.
Yeah, I could see that, too. But let's get to the 7-10 game first here.
Ohio State, the 7 versus Tennessee, the Loyola Chicago. Who do you guys have in this game? This is kind of a more of a toss-up for me. Alex, you want to start off?
Yeah, I got Buckeyes, but I don't really like either of these teams, to be honest. I'm just going to give EJ Liddell the benefit of the doubt. He's easily the best player on the floor. So I'm going to roll with the Buckeyes.
I don't like either of these teams either. As of right now, I'm rolling with Loyola just because the Buckeyes have lost like 5 games out of their last 9, something like that. I don't know if that's the exact stat, but they've lost a lot recently. This is a game I feel zero passion about. The next 7-10 matchup's the exact same. Zero passion. So Loyola, I guess, they know how to get it done in March, I guess. That's the only thing I'm really hanging my hat on here, Wes.
I have a loyal in this game as well. I don't like how Ohio State's been playing recently. They've lost a lot of games recently. And obviously, Loyola won their conference tourney. Got to give them credit. They had a nice little run there to beat. I mean, the MVC is not a terrible, terrible conference. So credit to them for getting the job done. I do like their experience. They were obviously there last season. Most of their guys, except Cameron Krutwig, have returned from that team last year that beat Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I like their experience in March. And I'm kind of banking on that for them to beat Ohio State.
Boy, could that team use Cameron Crutwood this year, though.
Oh, my God, could they ever. And then, obviously, this the 2-15 matchup of Villanova-Delaware. I believe we all have Villanova. Jay Wright's not losing the first round. We can probably move on. That's probably all needs to be said. Jay Wright does not.
Yeah. But, Alex, you did want to point out Villanova versus Tennessee. You think that's a good matchup?
Yeah, that's going to be an incredible game. Vescovi and Kennedy Chandler versus Justin Moore and Colin Gillespie. Two of the best backcourts going head-to-head. One thing to note, Villanova is the best free throw shooting team in the history of college basketball, shooting like 83% as a team. If they get a lead, they're not blowing it. I just think Tennessee is the all-around better team. But I can see Nova going on a run.
Yeah.
I think both are definitely possible. We'll have to kind of wait and see on that. Obviously, I love
Tennessee. Do either of you have Loyola over Nova? I do not.
No. I have
no, Nova. Not over Nova. No. I don't like either Loyola or Ohio State. They're winning maximum one game.
Okay.
So we kind of move in then to the Midwest region, bottom right for all the people looking on the paper bracket. We start off with the number one seed of Kansas taking on winner of Texas Southern. I believe TCC is Texas Corpus Christi.
Creamed corn, bro. Out of the Southland. Basically half the conference decided to move to the WAC.
Yeah, exactly. So literally the whole meat of the conference, honestly, left the Southland for the WAC. But
cream corn's still there.
Cream corn is still there, and you love to see them making the tourney. Obviously, Kansas wins this one. I actually have right now, currently have Kansas in my Final Four. Where do you guys have Kansas right now?
I have Kansas getting beat by the winner of the 8-9 game, which we'll get to.
I currently have Kansas in my Final Four. I think it's – oh, yeah, I'll get to it later. But right now, Kansas in my Final Four.
We can move that in until later on. We can move then on to the 8-9 matchup of San Diego State-Creighton. Creighton's been playing some great ball as of recent, obviously, making it to the Big East Final. I like San Diego State in this game just because of their defensive houndness, I guess you could say. They kind of struggle on the offensive end. I think they're going to lean on Trey Pulliam in this game more so than they have in recent games. Nathan Mensah, the center, 6'10" center for San Diego State, is an absolute menace in the paint and a great interior paint defender. And I think he's going to be able to handle Ryan Kalkbrenner. I think that San Diego State gets the job done here.
I disagree. I think Creighton wins this game, and this might come as a shock to some people because I was high on San Diego State last time I recorded about a week ago. I really like their defensive prowess, but the more I watch them in the Mountain West Conference tournament, yes, I saw their defensive intensity, but I don't know. I didn't see enough on offense from San Diego State. They would keep a really low scoring. I just don't think they have what it takes to win a game in March. I like Creighton in this game. They got Ryan Hawkins. Obviously, they've got Ryan Kalkbrenner, the big palooka, as Alex likes to call him, and Alex O'Connell, obviously. And then a guy I also like on the team, the guy that comes off the bench from Georgia, not the state, the country. What's his name, Alex?
It's like Nika Kalashvili or something.
Yeah, it's a mouthful to pronounce, but I really like that guy. He brings the intensity every game. And I just think this Creighton team, you know, they've been pretty hot lately, I would say. Would you guys agree with that take?
I agree, 100%.
And it's just one of those, you just get those weird feelings when you're filling out a bracket, and I just felt that with Creighton. I know that that's not really a tangible thing. That's not something you can grab. I have Creighton in my Elite Eight. You might not have guessed it, but there we go. Creighton in the Elite Eight. Big Palooka, lead the way.
He's going to need to lead the way. That's a very, very bold pick. They've been playing great ball as of recent. A lot of times people like to ride hot teams in the March, and honestly, a lot of times that works out. Clearly, I am as well, riding Virginia Tech to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
They've been playing great balls of recent, so I'm not going to discredit that pick, but a bold pick nonetheless, and I'm sure you can agree with that too as well.
Yeah, I know it's bold, and I know that, you know, obviously it's probably less likely than not that it happens, but you need to zig when others zag sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that Creighton has a chance that could happen. I think that they could be really hot shooting, and I'm starting to really rise in this Creighton team.
Yeah, I disagree with you, Chuck. I got SDSU winning this one. I think they are too good defensively. Creighton is too young of a team. They turn the ball over a crap ton, too, and that's against teams like Marquette. They had 17 turnovers against Marquette in the Big East Conference tournament, and they could honestly have 22, 23 turnovers against the Hounds of SDSU. I think Pulliam, as Wesley mentioned, and Matt Bradley are going to be enough offensively. Yep, I think San Diego State gets it done.
I don't know. When I watched San Diego State in that Mountain West Conference tournament, I saw minimal potential offensively.
But their game is so based on defense.
And I know that. And I understand that. But
never pick SDSU.
I'm talking about when they're playing like the Fresno States of the world. I'm not talking about the good Mountain West teams. I'm talking about Fresno States, the lower seeds. I still didn't even see it then. So.
Well, I mean, they lost in the Mountain West Championship game to a Boise State team that I think is really good. And, I mean, they beat Colorado State in the semifinal.
I know, but I'm not huge on Colorado State either. I mean, I have them losing first round, so.
Okay.
I do have all three Mountain West teams winning their first round matchup.
Except Wyoming, and hopefully they lose to Indiana.
And hopefully they don't even have an opportunity to play in the round of 60, or in the field of 64. So, that would be great. Moving on then to the 5-12 matchup of arguably the hottest team in college basketball, the Iowa Hawkeyes, who have won the Big Ten championship today as of about 3 to 4 hours ago.
On the back of Keegan Murray. I know we joke around and call him King Stat Pad, but
what a run for him in the Big Ten tourney.
Yeah. Jordan Bohannon too.
And Jabo too. You're right. That's a great point.
Finally put it together.
So first time maybe in the last 4 months. Big bank three against Indiana in the dying seconds of the game to send them to the Big Ten championship, obviously, and then they get the job done against
Purdue. But they're playing probably the biggest bid stealer of this entire tournament, would you guys say, in Richmond, coming out of the
A-10? 12 seed Richmond is who they're playing, yes.
And they took Dayton's spot, too, because Dayton was the first team out.
Just
an in-conference rival.
Yeah.
This game,
I would way rather see Dayton than Richmond, personally. Obviously, yep. That's not how it works, I understand. But, like, does anybody have Richmond winning this game?
Nope.
I don't have Richmond, but I want to talk about Richmond a little bit because this was a team last year who I think a lot of people were high on. And they brought back a lot of those same guys. They still have Jacob Gilliard, Grant Golden, and Nathan Kyle, who are their three main guys. They still have Grant
Golden. Wow.
Yes, they do. And I guess the player to look out for on Richmond is Jacob Gilliard. He's led the league in steals for like three straight years now, I believe. He might actually hold the record for steals in a season. But I think Iowa is way too hot right now. And currently I have them losing to Kansas in the Sweet 16. I think the winner of that matchup, Kansas-Iowa, is going to the Final Four.
Wow.
So, and I can see it going either way.
This is, in my opinion, a weaker region. I'm not going to say super weak, obviously, but I think it's a weaker region. So I 100% see where you're coming from.
And Iowa's been playing great ball recently. I have Iowa over Richmond, and then also I have Iowa winning the second round game, making it to the Sweet 16 as well. So
I do too.
I like Iowa for a couple games in this bottom right quadrant. No chance Richmond wins this game, in my opinion. I feel I'm going to compare them, not fully, but similar to the Georgetown team of last year. I made the mistake of picking Georgetown, just thinking, ride the hot hand. Richmond was not that good in A-10 play this year. I'm not riding Richmond. No chance for me. Sorry, Richmond fans out there, but I will not be a rider for you. We can move that into the 4-13 matchup. Another phenomenal 13 seed, South Dakota State.
Yes.
They're a 5-loss team, zero. I'll say that again. Zero losses in the Summit Conference. No losses. This is not, it's not the best mid-major.
The Summit's not the best mid-major conference. But I don't care.
North Dakota State, they beat them, I think, three times this year. Is that correct, Alex? Correct me if I'm wrong. Three times.
Yeah, and North Dakota State's a solid team.
I agree. North Dakota State's probably a 9-loss team this year. They're not that bad. They're not bad. I'll just say that.
Not to bury the lead here, though, but it is 13-seeded South Dakota State playing 4-seeded Providence. Correct. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yes, I did not mention who they're playing. They're playing 4-seeded Providence. I'll start this one off because I have South Dakota State winning this game over the 4-seeded Providence.
Steal my thunder yet again. I got South Dakota State, too. You can go first, though.
I would just want to say that because South Dakota State, obviously, they haven't lost a game in conference, plus won their conference tourney. They haven't lost a game in a long time. They are cooking. They have been the whole season. They're a very well-rounded, deep team. And I think it's more that the Friars are exploitable and fraudulent, in my opinion, rather than South Dakota State's overpoweringly good and way better than them. I just think that the Friars are very exploitable. I think that Al Durham is a solid player, but he's not very good.
He's a charity stripe merchant.
Charity stripe merchant. That's the way to put it.
But piggybacking off what you said, I have South Dakota State as well. I do not care, Mike Tomlin, we do not care how bad your conference is. If you do not lose a single game in it, there's nothing else you physically can do. You're doing everything you've been asked to do. And that's exactly what South Dakota State did. And Providence, I do like Providence to an extent. I really love Jared Bynum. I think he's a Kemba candidate. He is one of those guards that could absolutely take over in March Madness. But once again, they are very susceptible. Once again, Alex, you mentioned this stat. Providence is, according to KenPom, the quote-unquote luckiest team in college basketball since, 2006?
Yep.
That means that they win close games. And obviously, the discourse on this has been, we went over it a lot. It means you either, A, know how to win close games, or B, you might be getting kind of lucky in these close games. And with Providence, I'm not saying they don't know how to win close games, but I kind of am interpreting this a little bit more on the lucky side. I really like South Dakota State in this. Summit League champs, give me South Dakota State.
At first glance on this game, I said watching the selection show that I liked SDSU. I'm rolling Providence in this game. I think all around they're a better team. I like the KenPom metric, they're lucky. I don't care. They play in a great conference. They've beaten great teams. I'm rolling with the Friars. I think it comes down to a close game. I don't see how you can bet against Jared Bynum. And frankly, I don't know if this one's close.
Well, I thought you just said it comes down to a close game, and then you said you don't know if this
is close. I said if it comes down to a close game, I wouldn't bet against Jared Bynum, but okay. I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
Okay.
I disagree, but you have your points. I have mine. No.
And we move.
And we move on. We get into
– I don't want to move on to this next game, though, because I think this next
this
game
is total,
terrible.
Total balls. This is just garbage. This is the worst – probably the worst sixth seed in the field, in my opinion. Versus the for sure, guaranteed, bar none, the worst 11 seed in the field in Iowa State. 6 seed LSU taking on 11 seed at Iowa State. This game stinks. This is just bad. I picked LSU.
This game stinks, but I still kind of do have a clear cut.
Yeah, I'm picking LSU in this one. Xavier Pinson's that guy. He's the best player on the court in this game.
Ooh, I like that's interesting, Wes.
I think he's.
The I best think player. Brockington's really good.
I know Isaiah Brockington is good, but I think Xavier Pinson overall is probably the best player on the court. You may disagree. I like, and obviously the LSU team, and they did lose their coach. Let's also not forget this. Will
That's
Wade
a good point.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Will Wade is no longer the coach of LSU.
But I don't think Will Wade was really a good coach whatsoever.
Been doing much. Maybe this is addition
could,
by subtraction.
Could be. It could absolutely be addition by subtraction for LSU, and that's why I have them as well. Iowa State, you know, they had a nice little run to the start of the year. Good for Iowa State. They haven't shown me anything lately. And LSU, we know that they're a pretty good defensive team.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know. Shut down Brockington. What else is Iowa State going to do to beat you?
Bring back Tyrese Halliburton maybe something?
Yeah, you tell me. So give me LSU.
Yeah, I'm rolling with LSU as well. I think they're just a much more well-rounded team. I mean, they've got a lot of scorers. Xavier Pinson, Eric Gaines, Darius Days. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can beat you. This game is going to be pretty boring to watch. Both teams are, I would say their strong suit is defense, but LSU is just a better all-around team. I think they win this one, and I think they're beating the Badgers in the second round.
Woo! Bold.
That is where we disagree.
That is where we strongly disagree. We can get right into the third 3-14 matchup of Wisconsin-Colgate. We probably all have the Badgers beating Colgate in the first round.
Yeah,
do we not?
Toothpaste game.
Alex,
gave Arkansas thanks. A phenomenal you run last year.
This is why I didn't pick.
They did not give them a phenomenal run. No. You are remembering it wrong.
Yes,
they were
they
up
did.
13 at one point in the game. Arkansas still ended up winning that game quite handily.
But like 12.
Arkansas won that game by almost 15 points.
I'm just going to say, I have Wisconsin winning this game.
This is
Colgate
why
has
I did not
won.
Pick Marquette, because you are.
Can I finish?
Yes,
can
you
I
can finish.
Finish.
Go.
Colgate has won 19 of their last 20 games.
In the Patriot
and they
League.
Shoot,
that doesn't count.
And they shoot 40% from three.
They did that exact same thing last year. And that Hogs game, you can say it's close. It was not that close.
Okay, I'm just saying they're probably the best 14 seed.
Let's look at these 14
seeds. Quick peek.
They're better than Longwood, Yale,
yes,
and
Montana right. They
State.
Are the best 14 seed. Fair.
Okay, well, the 14 seeds this year appear to be very bad.
They do.
The thing about Wisconsin
the fact
is
that
they
Bryant,
also
Bryant's
have,
the better is better than all 14 seeds. Let's just throw that out there.
Wisconsin also has two home games in the first two rounds of this game. They're going to be playing at the Fiserv.
They're in Milwaukee. They're playing in Milwaukee.
And
this needs to be taken into account.
And that goes into what, in my opinion, I think Wisconsin could not have asked for a better draw.
Nope.
They're in their first two games in Milwaukee versus Colgate. Alex, you can say you love Colgate, whatever. I don't really care.
And then getting, honestly, the worst 16
and then getting,
LSU.
Yeah, LSU or Iowa State. You know, once again, we could be proven wrong about these things. But looking at it right now, I'm not scared about either of those teams.
Yep.
And then 2 seed of Auburn. Auburn's not bad, clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Jabari Smith, who's going to be top three pick in the NBA draft. But
so Johnny will be a top 7 too. So like,
but the Auburn doesn't scare me that much as far as 2 seeds are concerned. They might scare me more than Duke, but the other 2 seeds definitely
scare
me more.
Oh no, yeah, Kentucky and Nova definitely scare
me
more.
I think the Badgers got a fantastic draw.
I agree fully. And I have, that's why I have Wisconsin advancing to my Elite Eight.
And that's why I have Wisconsin advancing to my Final Four.
Yep, I've got that. Wisconsin losing to LSU. They haven't been playing great ball recently. They have Johnny's not. Got an injured ankle, and he will have some time to rest up, get it back to full strength. But I think LSU is going to be stingy defensively. And I think Wisconsin, I think they rely too much on Johnny, first of all. And also, I don't think Chucky Hepburn is ready for the big stage.
Yeah. Even though he has hit. How can you say that?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to respectfully completely disagree with you and say Chucky is ready. And even though Brad has said all these years, Brad is not. Brad's 3-point A shot selection and B percentage have been buns this year. And I think that is severely hurting this decently talented Badger team. Brad taking these garbage shots and taking away good interior looks for Tyler Wahl, who is a very, very talented post player, in my opinion.
Two things that I want to say. Number one, Brad Davidson is in sort of the same boat as Jordan Bohannon. He's been doing his thing in college basketball since basically we were born. He is not going to go out on a whimper. Jordan Bohannon is proving that himself right now.
I hope he'll not go out on a whimper. I hope Brad.
I don't think Brad will either. We saw how he played last year in March Madness in their game versus North Carolina in that first round. He had, what, 30 points? Number two, Alex, what has Chucky Hepburn not showed you? What has he showed you that says he's not ready to show up in the clutch? Because in my opinion, as a true freshman, he has been otherworldly clutch this year.
I agree, but I don't think his offensive game is as good as people think. I think it's been – he's hit some really tough shots recently. I just don't think he can keep that up.
Than people think.
I agree.
I think his don't think he can keep up the offensive game.
Not enough credit.
Yes, he's been shooting the ball very, very well recently.
I don't even
– I understand, Wesley, and I'm saying I don't think he can continue that.
I think he's done it for, like, weeks now. And I think,
but he's only gotten better as the season's progressed. You think he's just randomly going to fall off a cliff? Like, I don't know.
I think against a really good LSU defensive team, I think so.
Speculative at best, but.
I mean, he against Michigan State, he was 3-5 from three. Against Purdue, he was 4-6. Against Rutgers, he was 2-4. He's confident. He's creating his own shots.
He's dialing in that stroke.
I mean, like, I don't really give you guys too much slander for picking against Marquette in the first round.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know why I'm getting shit on here.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, if that's your
opinion. I'm not even really
I don't really care about the LSU. I'm just mad that you don't think Chucky's
I just think the
ready.
Chucky Hepburn take is pretty awful in general. And once again, I'm not a person – obviously, we all go to the University of Wisconsin, for those who don't know. I don't wear, like, these blind love goggles for Wisconsin. I just think they got a really good draw. And, you know, with my bold pick of Creighton over Kansas, I think that they've got about as easy of a walk to the Final Four as they could ask for. Obviously – you know, a lot of things have to go right for that to happen.
Correct.
That's why I have Wisconsin in my Final Four. And Johnny Davis, once again, Kemba candidate. He's a guard that can take over March Madness.
Especially as an NBA draft prospect with that elite slashing ability.
Yes.
I think that bodes well in a good mid-range shot, too. We then move on to the second of the disappointing 7-10 matchups in 7-seeded USC, who I believe reeks, and then 10-seeded Miami. Which one do you guys want to start this one off?
Can you guys tell me who you have and basically just tell me who to pick this game? Because I honestly have no idea, and I really just kind of need an answer.
I'm rolling with the Hurricanes.
Bang! Roll Hurricanes. I am as well. Honestly, this is some pretty bad reasoning, but I just kind of enjoy this Miami team. I've enjoyed watching their games. They've always been, like, fun, electric games. And it's more so the fact that I hate USC. If I'm being honest, rather than loving Miami. So I'm rolling the Hurricanes in this game. This is kind of a bad game.
I just think Miami's guards are way better, and Isaiah Mobley hasn't been playing particularly well. I like Isaiah Wong and Charlie Moore, so I think Miami gets it done.
I like Wong.
As of right now, I have USC. I just kind of – sort of like the Ohio State Loyola game. Like, I almost didn't really – care enough
toss it up
to pick a team or something. I don't know, maybe you guys swung me to pick Miami, maybe not, maybe I'll stick with USC just for the heck of it. We'll see
how it rolls out.
It's just not a game I really don't want to watch.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a very fun game. Obviously you gotta watch all have to be watched, but not the most intriguing game. USC Miami finishing off with Auburn versus the very incredibly dumbly fraudulent Jacksonville State, which who should not be in
the tournament. Should be Bellarmine.
It should be Bellarmine, who is a fun team. They still would lose to Auburn. We all have Auburn in this game, I'm assuming. And obviously, I have Wisconsin beating Auburn in the Sweet 16.
As do I.
And Alex, where do you have Auburn going, since you have LSU beating Wisconsin in the round 32?
I have Auburn losing in the Elite Eight.
To Kansas or Iowa?
Right now, Kansas.
That could change?
Could change.
Okay.
That sounds good. I think we should now probably roll through our final four.
And once again, we need to reiterate one more time, if you're still with us here after over an hour, a lot of what we said is subject to change. I personally know my bracket is probably going to change before Thursday strikes.
I can agree.
But we'll go through our Elite Eight Final Four championship game and winner right now. You want to lead it off, Wes?
Yeah, I can start it off. So out of the top left West quadrant, I have Gonzaga, Texas Tech in the Elite Eight, and then Texas Tech advancing to the Final Four. The bottom left East quadrant, I have Baylor, Kentucky, with Baylor advancing. Top right, the South quadrant, I have Arizona and Tennessee, which that will be a phenomenal game. I really, really hope that actually happens. I hope that happens. I have Tennessee advancing to the Final Four. And then the bottom right Midwest quadrant, I have Kansas, Wisconsin, and I picked Kansas to advance to the Final Four. And then I have Texas Tech over Baylor and Tennessee over Kansas, and I have Tennessee winning it all in
versus Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. I love Tech this year.
And too bad they get blown up by Rutgers.
What happened? I strongly disagree. But story for a different day. We'll see how that plays out, obviously.
Yeah. I can go next. Top left, I've got Gonzaga and Rutgers in my Elite Eight. I've got the Zags in my Final Four. Bottom left, I've got UCLA and Kentucky in my Elite Eight, and I have UCLA going to the Final Four. Top right, I've got Arizona and Tennessee, like you guys, although I have Arizona in my Final Four. And then finally, bottom right, I have Creighton and Wisconsin in my Elite Eight, and Wisconsin going to the Final Four. And my championship game, got UCLA versus Arizona. Two Pac-12 teams, I know it's not likely, but hey, it's March. You never know what can happen, and I'll have Arizona cutting down the nets.
Alrighty, I've got UConn, Texas Tech in my Elite Eight in the West region. I like UConn to go to the Final Four. Then I've got UCLA versus Kentucky, which should be an incredible matchup. If you guys remember the Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox versus Lonzo Ball matchup, that was quite insane. I've got UCLA winning this one, going to the Final Four. Then in the South region, I have also have Arizona and Tennessee, with Tennessee advancing. And lastly, Midwest, I got Kansas beating Auburn. Final game, I like UCLA versus Tennessee, with Tennessee winning it all.
Love it. Roll U10.
Roll Tennessee, baby.
I've absolutely loved all. I mean, I've been a Tennessee fan for a couple years. This is the year, I feel like.
We shall see. Like the broader things are concerned with our bracket, I felt like we were a lot more similar this year than previous years.
Overall, yes, but once it got down to the nitty gritty, I feel like in the Final Four, Elite Eight section, I feel like not as much. No,
I mean, you guys do both still have Tennessee winning it all.
I know, but our fours are so much different. Excuse me, apologize. Alex and I's Final Fours are very, very much different from each other. I happen to have Tennessee both win it all. Obviously, we both kind of like Tennessee coming down the stretch. So,
yeah, this was fun. Bracket Breakdown Podcast is
always my favorite. Always
fun. Always the best. Will you guys be attending any of the Milwaukee games in person? I will be going to the second round game on Sunday.
And do the Badgers play that day?
Because if they win, they do.
If they win, they play on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
I need to get tickets for that.
I think I need to get tickets personally. I'm gonna try.
Yeah, but fun podcast. Anybody else have anything to add?
Nothing else for me.
I'm all good.
All right. Until next time, this is Made in March.